Today's Old Testament reading will be taken from Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. You can follow along in your pew Bible on page 91. Moses said unto God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel, and say unto them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Gracious and loving God, we cannot begin to understand all of your names, all the ways in which you work in our lives. Help us to appreciate all of those things that you do and the unnamed ways in which you do them for us. We thank you, Lord, for today's message from Moses and from the book of Exodus, and we ask that you bless the words of my mouth so that they may be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So on top of a holy mountain, looking into the flames of a burning bush, of a bush that is on fire but not being consumed, Moses, somehow not completely overwhelmed by what he sees, asks God what God's name is. Now it seems like a rather simple request, right? It's something we do all the time on forms or when we're introduced to somebody new. We tell people our names. We ask others what their names are. And when you're working with somebody, you really need to know that person. A name is an important part of that. So it only seems fair that Moses wanted to know who it was that was sending him to the powerful Pharaoh with what would seem to be an extremely ludicrous request to free the Israelite slaves. Knowing God's name would give Moses insight into God's power and into God's character. Now, when I'm reading the story of Exodus, this moment is filled with unbelievable tension, excitement. What name could God possibly give that would fully encapsulate who God is? What one name could define all who God is? Think about all the different names we use for God: Lord, Master, Father, God Almighty, King of Kings, Creator, Sustainer, Shepherd, Holy One, Merciful One. Each one of these emphasizes God's many qualities. What one name could God give that would cover all of these? This week I watched a clip from Mary Poppins. I was excited about the fact that the new movie's coming out, and I thought about supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I thought about that. I said, that's the only one I thought would probably live into the hype. Said, my name is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I think, oh my gosh! That's the only name that I think God could give at that moment. So when you hear this name, it's not unusual for us all to be let down. Did you hear Simone over here? She goes, what? on the surface, the answer is pretty unsatisfying. Moses tells God, God tells Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am? What does that even mean? Sounds like a non-answer that some politician's saying to try to avoid commenting on a controversial issue. On one hand, I agree. On the other hand, I disagree. Right? Terence Fretheim, a scholar of Exodus, said that some scholars suggest that God's response to Moses is a refusal to give a name at all. In effect, I am who I am is saying it's none of your business to know my name. It's none of your business. It certainly doesn't appear to be the all-encompassing name that Moses and I wanted to hear. That name above all names, the name that would blow your socks right off. Instead, we get this vague statement on God's nature. I am who I am. Now here we must acknowledge first that all language has some limitations, right? Some experiences we have, particularly those with God, cannot simply be accurately expressed in words. This is why we use metaphors, similes, poetry, music to express the experiences that we have that simply cannot be summed up in a few words. No one name could ever or ever could encapsulate all that God is. Hence why we use the very generic term God and add descriptors. Merciful, loving, graceful, creating, to express our experiences with God. So understanding this, let's not write off too quickly, I am who I am, no matter how silly it might sound. I believe in understanding this name in its context, we will get at a quality of God that we often ignore or write off when we're struggling. God's name, I am who I am, does not appear out of nowhere. It comes in the story of the burning bush from Exodus, as I mentioned earlier, which is all about God calling Moses to confront Pharaoh, to lead the enslaved Israelites to freedom. But it's basically a suicide mission, right? How could this one man stand up to the most powerful ruler in the world with the most powerful army in the world? Moses clearly has some reservations about pursuing this foolish mission. He just doesn't want to do it. If you read chapters 3 and 4, he spends all of his time trying to figure it out of the calling. And finally in chapter 4, Moses just goes, he stops trying to come up with excuses. He just says, just please send somebody else. Just anybody else. In the end, he just stops fighting it. And God got mad and said, well, I'm still sending you, so get ready. Which I love. Because God's like, well, you can fight this, but this is what's going to happen. But he doesn't want to go. But God promises Moses that this will not be a solo mission, that God will go with him. And God will give Moses the people he needs to go through it. And this isn't just any random God hanging out in the Middle Eastern desert just looking for people to hang out with. This is God who has been through this before, reminding Moses that God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the trickster, even the God of Moses' father. Meaning, this God has a history. This God has a past. This God has a track record of carrying his people through seemingly impossible situations. Situations that no one thought these people were going to get through. God is asking Moses to trust him based on God's continual faithfulness in the past. So now, I am who I am, all of a sudden means something, right? If you know God's track record, I am who I am says, you are God. And that's who you have been in the past, and you're going to continue to be that God into the future. All the times I have heard the cries of my people, I have responded. God is saying, you will know me by my faithfulness. I am what I do. It's God's faithful actions that define who God is. God is asking Moses to take on this crazy mission, trusting that the same faithfulness will also carry him through, just as it did for Isaac and Abraham and Jacob. I am who I am isn't some vague nonsense. It is a declaration of God's consistent faithfulness to his people. We, like Moses, have our reservations about whether God is serious about this consistent faithfulness. We have such incredible short attention spans that we forget all the ways that God has been faithful to us in our lives. And especially in the midst of suffering and misery, we think, hey God, what have you done for me lately? Somehow ignoring everything that came before it. So we must learn to take the bird's eye view of our faith, to see the big picture of how God is working in our lives and beyond. And I'm talking beyond our life and our own struggles, beyond our parents, beyond your grandparents, all the way back to the beginning of time. Last week, my wife and I tried to watch A Wrinkle in Time, the new version of that movie. It wasn't very good, but Oprah had a really cool, an interesting line of the 30 minutes we did watch. She plays Mrs. Witch, W-H-I-C-H, Mrs. Witch, which tells Meg, the main character, this amazing line. She says, do you realize how many events and choices had to occur since the birth of the universe leading to the making of you just exactly the way you are? That kind of blew my mind. Does that blow y'all's mind a little bit? Because this poor little girl, she feels like she has no purpose. She has no life. And she looks at her and says, you realize all the things that had to happen for you to be here right here now. That's amazing. That's a miracle. That's a gift. Appreciate that. And Meg says, I might want to start thinking about that a little bit more. Can you begin to realize how far-reaching God's faithfulness this is? And recognizing that it goes as far back as it goes, it also reaches into the future. This is why I have spent so much time in this church researching our history. Right, Mary? I cannot stop. Everything interests me. Everything. And there's a reason for that. It's not because I'm a history nerd. I am a history nerd. I get it. I love researching. But there's something about hearing the stories of the people of this church, the struggles, the joys, the everything in between. And when I hear those stories, when I see those things lifted up, I think, oh, they got through this. They got through some really tough stuff, and it was really tough. They thought they were going to sell the church, mortgage it, though they were so worried about money. Oh my gosh. But they did. They survived it. And I don't think we have even 1% of the knowledge of the decisions that they made that made it possible for this church to be here, just like we don't know all the things our parents did for us that made it possible for us still to be alive right now. Right? And that just blows my mind. Because there's all these people that have sat in the pews you are sitting in right now. Right? That did some amazing things. Incredible things that we're never going to know about. Who were generous. Who were wise. Who took risks. Who were willing to say, yes, we're going to do this. We're going to make a go at it. We're going to follow God. And we're going to bring that into this community. This is the God that has been faithful to them and now to us and is going to be faithful for those who come after us. So trusting in this faithfulness, do you dare accept God's seemingly impossible mission to love and to serve? Only fear is going to hold us back. We think, will God really be faithful? But we'll never know if we don't try. Let us become a generation of generosity, a generation that trusted in the faithfulness of God by committing ourselves to building a community built on love and service. And when you feel the fear of stepping out in faith, remember, I am who I am. The God who has an incredible track record of faithfulness, and take that first step. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.